My message this morning is two verses in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus' word to grieving Martha: I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live, and whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, before I became a Christian, one of the things that irked me about religious Christianity was the uncertainty of the presentation of the gospel. At Easter time, you would listen to some church leader telling us what the message was, and I'd be left more confused afterwards than at the start. And instead of asserting truths, that they would be asking questions all the time and filling me with not just confusion, but doubts. And what gladdened my heart when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ was this: that we are not dealing with maybes and perhapses, but it is yes, indeed, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And nowhere is that more true than when we come to this I am statement in John chapter 11. There are seven I ams, and this perhaps is the most glorious of them. I am the resurrection and the life. And what better place to turn to on this Easter Sunday morning? So I don't want to follow the example of those preachers. I want to dwell this morning upon certainties, facts. Now, my first certainty to put before you is an uncomfortable one. It's the certainty of death. Now, sometimes we preachers, we're accused of being killjoys, morbid people. Now, I have to guard against that tendency in me, because I am a glass half empty sort of person, as you know. But it's not being morbid to state that there is one certainty in life. I'm going to disagree with Harold Macmillan here, who said that there were two certainties. He said death and taxes. Well, actually, there's only one certainty: death. Death. Not even the closest friends to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on earth, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, was immune from death. In spite of all the advances in medicine, no one has been able to overcome death. You know what the most powerful force is in the world? It's not some bomb that an American president drops. It's the power of death. And this is what I want to bring before us this morning. And I'm including myself here. I'm going to make this confession at the outset. I'm afraid of dying. Aren't you? Death is likened in the Old Testament to the River Jordan. And the River Jordan in flood would have been a frightening ordeal to cross. I'm scared of having to stand on the brink of the Jordan of death. And when I was seeking, I wanted a religion, as Tony said in the notices, I wanted a religion that dealt with the power of death. I wasn't interested in any other ideology unless it could give me a hope that went through the Jordan of death and landed me safe on the other side. Don't you want that this morning? You see, I'm not being overly religious here. I'm not committing intellectual suicide. I'm facing this fact. And facts can be stubborn things. They're there whether we like them or not. And the one fact that we all have to face this morning is the fact of death, the certainty of it. Let me remind you of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Man is appointed once to die. And what comes after? After that, the judgment. It wasn't judgment day yesterday. What a load of nonsense. How can you describe rugby matches as being judgment day? We're still here. We're still alive. And some of us, we weren't even watching. That's not judgment day. Judgment day is ahead of us when we die. Can I quote a cynic here? He was around at the end of the 19th century. And believe it or not, there were big celebrations to celebrate the coming of the 20th century. I don't know why they were celebrating, because the 20th century saw the two worst wars that this world has ever experienced. And this cynic, and he was quite right, he put it like this: why are you celebrating? Do you know what? Only one thing you can be certain of in the 20th century. And that one thing is going to happen to all of you. You see, there were people who were 70 years old at the end of the 19th century. There were people who were 4 or 5 years old. But one thing was going to happen to them. They were going to die at some point. Yesterday, the last person apparently in the world who lived in the 19th century died. So she actually carried on into the 21st century. But most were going to die, and they died. And most of us in the next few decades are going to die. All of us in 80 or so years' time will be dead. Shouldn't that make us sit up and think, am I ready? Am I ready? The certainty of death. Death is an appointment we cannot refuse. I was invited to the wedding next weekend, but alas, I had to turn down the invitation. Not because I didn't want to go. I really did want to go, especially if it was in the Lake District. But I had a preaching engagement the following day, which was so far away that I couldn't make both. My friends, you're not going to be able to turn down the appointments of your dying day. And unlike a wedding day, we don't know when it will come. It could come tomorrow. It could come sometime today. There have been people in this church in the past who've sat in the service and died. I think one person died during the service. Are we ready? Let me quote a hymn here. There is an hour, we don't know when I must part with all I hold most dear, and life with its best hopes will then as nothingness appear. There is an hour when I must sink beneath the stroke of death, even the most fit of us, and yield to him who gave it first my struggling, vital breath. There is an hour when I must stand, this is true judgment day, before the judgment seat, and all my sins and all my foes in awful judgment meet. This is how one preacher put it. He died recently. We brush death aside and fail to give it the thought we ought to give it. We walk over the graves of others and fail to remember that one day the place that knows us now will know us no more. I've got a funeral to take when I'm back from my holidays. I've lost count of the number of times I've had to stand at the front of this church before a coffin. And do you know what grieves me? It grieves me when the funeral directors come to the front at the end of the service and bow to the coffin. Why are they doing that? They're doing that because they think the dead person is still in that coffin. They're not. It's just their body that is in the coffin. The soul of the dead person has gone on into the next world. And this is the most frightening thing. I don't want to become a professional. I don't want to do this just out of rote, because one day it will be my body in the coffin. One day it will be your body in the coffin. And this is my question. Are we ready for that day? A little children's chorus we learnt in Sunday school. Dyma feibl anwyl Iesu, dyma rodd deheulawd yw. Dengis hwn y ffordd I farw, dengis hwn y ffordd I fyw. This is Jesus's lovely Bible. This is the gift of God's right hand. This tells you how to die. This teaches you how to live. Teach me how to die, Lord, and then I'll be able to face life with all of its problems. If I can face the last enemy, I can face anybody. Don't you want a hope like that? I think it was Freddie Mercury who sang, I read it in the papers, there's death on every page. And believe you me, when you read the obituaries and you find that a number of them have people dying that are younger than you, you start to feel afraid then. So this is the first certainty, the certainty of death. But then, this is why we're gathered here this morning. There's another certainty, and you know what it is. I am the resurrection and the life. The certainty of Christ's resurrection, the certainty of Jesus conquering death. I was told that the reason why they called the rugby matches yesterday Judgment Day was because the four biggest sides in Wales, and I better not name them in case I get them wrong, they were all coming together in a fight, as it were. Isn't that what a rugby match is, really? A good fight. And you know what? That's what Jesus Christ came to do. What's your image of the Lord Jesus this morning? Are you thinking of him as Jesus, meek and mild? He was meek. He definitely wasn't mild. I've got a strong Savior this morning. Mighty Christ. Mighty death itself he breaks. And do you know what he came to do? He came to face this power that none can ever conquer. He came to fight it. This is an amazing, amazing thing. I can't get enough of this. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. You know what preachers used to do in the middle of the 19th century in Wales? They weren't performing. Well, it became a performance. But what they were doing in a natural way was they would sing in the middle of their sermon. They would be so moved at what Christ had done that they would go into song and they would still be preaching. Now, I'm not going to do that this morning, but I understand their sentiments. How did one hymnist put it? I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. As we go through what Christ did, we cannot help but sing it. Listen to Jubilee Young preaching a sermon of Christmas Evans. There's a BBC recording. And as he's going through the victories of his Savior, he cannot help but sing. Oh, my friends, there is no chanting in Christianity. That's what you have in other religions. That's what you have when you're trying to face death yourself. It's something that bores me. It is even something that depresses my spirits. It's got no hope in it. But when I'm singing, my soul is soaring. That's what ought to happen. Because we've got someone worth singing about. An object worthy of praise. Oh, let me tell you about this fight. He came all the way from heaven. You read sometimes of boxing matches, and you have the two best boxers in the world, and they come vast distances, and they usually meet in a place like Las Vegas. Well, Jesus came all the way from glory. And do you know where the fight took place? In a far, far worse place than Las Vegas. Golgotha. Outside the walls of Jerusalem. By Gehenna, the rubbish dump, where the dead bodies of animal sacrifices were put. It must have stank there. And what a fight. You know, Jesus Christ didn't just come and preach against death. He didn't just come and say that there is a resurrection. Listen to good old Bishop Ryle here. Jesus here, if I can get the right quotes, this is how Ryle put it. He shows Martha that he needed none to help him. He told her that he's not merely a human teacher of the resurrection, but the divine author of all resurrection, whether spiritual or physical, and the root and the fountain of all life. And the fount of life came, and he faced death. And on that cross, it was a head-on fight. It was dirty, it was bloody, it was painful, and this is what the Lord Jesus did. The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. That's why there's death in the world. It's because of our sin, because of our rebellion against God. Sin has to be dealt with before death loses its hold on us. And Jesus Christ went to that cross, and as we heard on Friday, he thirsted so that we would thirst no more. He bore the punishment for your sins and mine. He drank the cup of the wrath of God down to the last dregs. And because he did that, death has no more hold on us. Death has lost its sting. That's the fight. Let me quote, it's quite a simple hymn, but it's really, really profound. This is how it is put. He died, why? That we might be forgiven. Even if you don't know much about the Bible, you know that. He died, not for himself, but for us. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could, what? Unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. In Revelation, Jesus Christ said, I have the keys of death. I don't know how many key holders there are in this church. There's more than one. I think there's more than one key holder, and I'm not one of them, so don't ask me to open up. Listen, there's only one key holder when it comes to the door of death, the door that leads not to eternal death, but to eternal life. That keyholder is Jesus Christ, who's conquered death. When we're talking about his death on Calvary, we're not doing so in a depressive kind of way. Even Good Friday for us is good because of his victory over death. And the resurrection morning wouldn't have happened unless he dealt with death. And there's a note of victory on Good Friday. There's a note of victory on Easter Sunday. Who cannot but praise one who has dealt with the last enemy? In the words of John Owen, the death of death in the death of Jesus Christ. You know what I'll be doing in the funeral in a few weeks' time? I'll be standing beside that open gravesite and I will be saying these words. I should know them off by heart by now. Death is swallowed up in victory. Imagine that, being able to say that, a mere mortal like me, being able to declare such certainties. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second certainty, not just the certainty of death, but the certainty of Christ conquering death. I am, he said. It's not you or I who conquer death. It would be if I am has done it. Do you see it? There was a lady, a bit like Martha. Martha was filled with doubts here. And there was a lady called Anne Steele. Have you ever heard of Anne Steele? She wrote a few hymns.
And in the midst of her uncertainties, this is what she latched onto. I love this. If my immortal Savior lives, then my immortal life is sure. If he has conquered death, I in him have also conquered it. The reverse is also true. If Jesus failed, we're all lost. But what we're sounding forth this morning, and I wish I had a better voice to sound it forth, is that Jesus is risen. I think they say this in Moldova today. People greet one another. I hope I'll get it right. Jesus Christ is risen today. And then the reply is, he is risen indeed. Now, you don't have to say that loud. But is there that in your heart this morning? He is risen indeed. He's risen for me. Do you know what? Even me here, who's afraid of death, me, who is going to stand quaking at the brink of Jordan, do you know what? When I stand there at the brink of Jordan, I'm going to ask him, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, you land me safe on Canaan's side. And you know what? Songs of praises. I don't like that term because it reminds me of a certain program. But songs of praises. Not like the Sunday evening TV program, but real songs of praises I will then ever give to thee. I just want to finish with one more certainty. Jesus doesn't stop at that. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you? In the Authorized Version, it's truer to the original. Believest thou this? That's not just ye old English. That is the singular. So it's not just you in general, but do you personally believe in this? This is the most important thing for all of us. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is telling us this morning, I am life. Outside of me, it's death. You may not think of it at the moment, but you're spiritually dead. And one day, you are going to die physically. Your soul is going to be separated from your body, and you're going to go to eternal death. It is death outside of me, but in me, it is life. And to believe in Jesus Christ is to go in him. Jesus Christ is the shelter from the storm, the refuge. I'd like to go up to Scotland for a few days. Probably not, because the weather's not good enough. But there are bothies up in the Scottish Highlands. And you can imagine walkers on a stormy day finding a bothy. And there's no need to have a key. The door is always unlocked, and you don't have to pay. You can use the bothy, and it doesn't matter how many people stay there. There are no regulations to say how many. There is room enough for everybody. And it is like that with Jesus Christ. He's our shelter from the storm of God's wrath, and we can flee to him this morning. Have you got that hope? I'm trying to press this upon us. Billy Bray was dying. He was a Cornish miner and a preacher. A great, great man, Billy Bray. Big heart. And he sent for the doctor. He got much worse and appeared like a man in the last stage of consumption. On one occasion, he sent for a medical man, and when he arrived, he said, "Now, doctor, I have sent for you because people say you are an honest man and will tell them the truth about their state." After the doctor had examined him, Billy said, "Well, doctor, how is it?" "You're going to die." That's what the doctor said.
Billy instantly shouted, "Glory, glory be to God. I shall soon be in heaven." He then added in a low tone and in his own peculiar way, "When I get up there, shall I give them your compliments, Doctor, and tell them you will be coming too?" And that doctor became a Christian. Oh, can I end on this note? Why won't you go to Jesus Christ this morning? If death is such a certainty, if his resurrection is such a certainty, if he says, "Believe in me, and even though you will have to cross that river, it will just be an entrance into eternal life. Believe in me, and though you are spiritually dead, I will give you new life in this world." What's stopping you? What's stopping you? Martha said, "My brother will rise at the last resurrection." There is going to be a resurrection for everybody. I often think when I'm in Thornhill standing at the graveside, what will it be like here on resurrection morning? I don't think we'll be too much taken by the view. I always think Thornhill is a beautiful place to be buried. You've got the hills behind Cardiff there, the woods. Oh, it's lovely. But on the resurrection morning, when the graves give up their dead, oh, think of what will happen. Not only will we have a new soul, we'll already have a perfect soul when we get to heaven, but on the resurrection morning, we'll have a perfect body. "I want a perfect body. I want a perfect soul," said somebody. Well, you've got it in Jesus Christ on the morning of the resurrection. And imagine a new body. A body that doesn't have grey hairs, a body that doesn't have wrinkles, a body that no longer gets tired, a body that's no longer got arthritic-y pains in it, a body that is as fit as the fittest. Don't you want that? A hope in life, a hope in death, a hope that will last forever, and not some nebulous spiritual hope, but dwelling in a perfect place, in perfect bodies, with perfect souls, with perfect people. And that won't be the greatest thing. It will be the Lamb who is all the glory in Immanuel's land. But there will be another resurrection for those outside of Christ. They will have new bodies, but they won't be perfect. They'll be worse than the bodies you've got now. And it won't be dwelling in a perfect place forever, but in hell forever. Now, Jesus spoke more about hell than heaven. Oh, don't find yourself there. If anybody there, here this morning, finds themselves there, you can't blame me. I'm shy. In personal conversation, I'm shy. But in this pulpit, I'm as plain as I can be. I wish, as I said on Good Friday, I could warn with tears in my eyes, but I'm still trying to warn you. You know, I promise I will end here. It's a dangerous thing for a preacher to say that he's going to finish. There's a dangerous way up Snowdon, up Crib Goch first, and many people starting from Penna Pass, they see a peak in front of them, and they think it's Snowdon. It's not Snowdon, it's Crib Goch. And some of them go off the safe path and try climbing Crib Goch. And I've got enough concern in me when I see that happening, when I see a young family in flip-flops trying to climb Crib Goch. I've got enough of a burden to be able to say to them, "Look here, don't you realize where you're going? Don't you realize that this is a dangerous path? Don't you realize you're putting yourself and your children in great danger?" Oh, my friends, you're taking a dangerous path. Turn to Jesus Christ. And may every one of us find ourselves in him, and may we rejoice that our religion isn't one of uncertainty, but it is one of yes and amen, and that not even death can rob us of our eternal reward, but that death will be a promotion to each one of us. For his name's sake, amen.